could have multiple recordings. Okay, well, so now there's somebody behind me again, darn it. So...
Is that a...
Just a, the, and bad timing too, because it's just as, because you're going to want to take pictures, I think, as we go by Camp Mystic, right?
Yeah.
So.
I'll just be fast. Or I'll take a video.
Okay. Yeah, take a video maybe, and then we'll just, we'll have to plan to come back and come back up here and take more pictures.
Honestly, a video might be more effective anyway.
Yeah.
And I don't know if mine is recording as we do this.
Oh, okay.
But
really? It doesn't look like it, or is it?
No, I meant the video.
Oh, okay.
I mean, not the video. Sorry, the audio.
Oh, okay.
But
that's I've got the audio going.
Yeah. Seconds, yeah.
I've got the audio going. Here, I'm gonna pull over, and if this is a policeman, he can stop me.
Pass you?
Well, he can do whatever. Yeah.
Was it?
No, it's just a person who's like, you're super annoying. Okay, there we go. There.
Yeah, it definitely stopped my thing.
Okay, my recording's still going.
Okay.
Okay, so then back to the meeting and kind of your impression as we're driving back by Camp Mystic. If we can stop and get the picture of the Camp Mystic sign up on the hill too, that seems like it might be a good image.
Uh-huh. Is this the, where's the creek? The river?
We're coming back to the low water crossing here, I think. And then we hit where Camp Mystic is.
I'll just like have it out. I want to get past Mr. Policeman.
Oh.
I don't want him to see me filming.
Oh, there he is. Okay, there you go. It's probably an empty, my guess is that that's probably an empty squad
just
car.
Just to
like kind of scare people. Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna start.
Okay, should I go slow?
Yeah, you. I'm gonna go slow when we get over to like the, situation with the cabins.
Well, so I felt like they did a good job of contextualizing, like Charlie Hastings did a good job of contextualizing the tsunami wave, like you were talking about before.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'll go slower.
Okay. I felt
I'm
like...
I'm going to take a photo of this.
Okay. Uh-oh. We're about to go. There's a heart rock, and there's nobody behind me, so I'm going to... Angels, here you go.
That tree was completely taken out right there.
Huge tree.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that camp was gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
So their houses, like those, the cabins near the creek were literally washed away, right?
Yes. Yeah, because there were, yeah, they were right at the creek.
Are these new cedar trees that have been planted here?
Oh, these? Probably. Uh-huh. I mean, anything that has a fencing around it.
Yeah, because the fence wouldn't have survived the flood, right?
Uh-huh. And here's a dam. Yeah.
Oh, do you want that, or?
I got it.
Okay.
One thing about Gen Z. We know how to take photos with an iPhone.
I love it.
That dam does not look very strong. Oh, there's the Mystic sign.
Here you go.
I got it.
Okay, cool. Huge, huge cliff wall there. Beautiful bluff.
Uh-huh.
But that's part of the problem.
What? Oh, you'll like this. One of the very last people to testify, I'll turn my thing back on now. I hope it recorded mine, but I guess yours worked.
I think mine is working still, yeah.
Oh yeah, mine recorded, but I'll turn it back on. So one guy, he was one of the very last testimonies, and the very first person I heard talk about this specifically. So he's been working in camps for, he said, like 15 years or something, with like, I don't remember his exact role, but he had a very, very thorough understanding of geology, and he was talking about the geologic formations in Central Texas, specifically at Mystic.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And how, like, the limestone mixed with, I forgot exactly what he said, but, like, the different layers, like, create a situation like this, and how we need more, like, geologic understanding, basically, of this area, because if we keep thinking that the same fixes are going to work differently, like, that's the definition of insanity,
mm-hmm.
repeating the same thing. Oh, this is where we got to be prepared to stop.
Yeah.
Photo of all of that.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, actually, it's a great idea to take a picture of all the kind of construction cleanup crew stuff.
Okay, well, no stop yet.
There, can you take that?
Oh, yeah.
All the trucks and stuff is uh-huh. good.
This is so much. This is crazy. This is what she wanted us to see.
Yeah. Lots of... I can't believe the number of...
Look at that tree.
...trees that have been cut. Yeah. Yeah, the number of tree stumps, that's pretty amazing, too, because it was just solid trees. It must have been so incredibly gorgeous.
Uh-huh. I can't even imagine, like, oh, this thing.
Here you go.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Whoops. Oh, yeah. Here you go. There's nobody behind me right now.
Okay.
Oh, here comes a car, cop car with his lights on.
Where's he going?
I don't know. Should I be, like, pulling over or?
I don't think so.
No. Okay.
Well, I guess we'll find out if he turns around.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we're not doing anything illegal.
No, no. There's nothing wrong with what we're doing. It's been done before in the last few weeks by hundreds and thousands of people, probably.
Who probably have, like, way less good intentions than we do. That was crazy. There was a piece of car in that tree still.
Oh.
I got it. Don't worry.
Wow. I mean, I wish that we could have come down to see the worst of it, except for we would have been just in the way, so really, it's better that we didn't,
uh-huh.
but man.
We also wouldn't have had the authority, I think.
No, no. I literally think that because Carolyn's team is going to be doing the work that they're going to be doing, that our study will be stronger for it, a lot stronger, so that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. I think it... Okay, so going back to our discussion, this is the most ADHD conversation.
Sorry.
No, that is me. It's like, oh, look, squirrel. Going back to the
squirrel.
Conversation.
Right, exactly.
Going back to Charlie. But I think that what she's doing, like, brings us a temporary challenge to our current methodology and what we thought we were going to do.
Yes.
But I don't see that as a long-term obstacle. If anything, like, I think, like, I agree with you, it'll strengthen our case because, one, regardless of anything else, she's going to get to all the people we want to talk to first.
Yes.
Before any other researchers, like, people will trust the university in their backyards.
Yes.
Well,
and she knew so many of those people that were there today.
Yeah.
She clearly was the one who convened it. So, yeah, she's the perfect relationship carrier.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
And I also, like, so I think that, yeah, we might not get to do as many. We might not have as much control over the interviews ourselves, but... I think if we didn't have hers, we may not have been able to get some of that information at all.
I agree. There's going to be a lot of information that she'll get that we would never have accessed.
Mm-hmm. And so, interesting that cobblestone path to the river over there stayed.
Yeah.
What is the only thing? All
low
the trees
profile.
Got wiped out, but it remained. Maybe cobblestone, maybe we have...
Everything should be cobblestone.
Well, drywall obviously is bad for so many reasons, and this is one,
mm-hmm.
but, yeah, I think she, we'll be good. And I think that we can still conduct our own interviews. And I think there will be some interviews that she's not going to want to conduct, like, or not, maybe not, maybe that's the wrong word, but she may be willing to help us make connections and have us interview, like, some of the officials or something, depending on what the topic is, mm-hmm. I guess. My brain is, like, turning off slowly.
I hear you. No, I know. It's been a big day. It's been a day of kind of processing a lot.
But I think, like with some of the emergency managers or like, agency officials and, like, those kinds of people, obviously they suffered trauma, but their story isn't, or their project isn't focused on that part of it. But she may be willing and able to help us make those connections, and then we can control those. So hers might just help us with the lens of survivor stuff and making connections, and then we still can conduct interviews on our own accord. Like, I know that there are people that are willing and able to talk to us that want to help in what we're doing. So that brings me to the second thing. Like, there are a bunch of people in the hearing that I saw that I think, yes, they have gone through a lot. Yes, they've lost their homes. Based on their conviction and their passion, I think that they would be enthusiastic to be interviewed by us and help us with this specific thing. And I wrote down in my notes of the hearing, like, specific individuals that I thought this for. Like, there was one woman named Nancy, I don't remember her last name, her and her father testified, and she is a Hunt, she's in Hunt, and she was one of the people that was strongly advocating for the funding not to just go to Kerrville, but to go to Hunt, for obvious reasons that
right.
we see, because Hunt is what got, quote, the worst of it, and,
so, like, we're coming back into Hunt right now, yeah.
Like, the, all of that, no one, they're well stayed. This whole property, cobblestone, everything. That also just proves how old these buildings are. Like,
yeah.
These are generational homes.
Right.
Her story was so crazy. Like, she said that by the time they got up and packed a bag, which brings me to a potential question of, like, what was the first thing you did when you realized you're in danger? Because a lot of people who testified said that they packed a bag. They didn't immediately leave, which in the span of, like, when, like, 10 minutes is, like, they spent 10 minutes packing a bag. That 10 minutes could have gotten them, like, out, you know? But she said that they ended up having to climb trees outside their house, and she hoisted her 60-year-old mother into a tree, and they held on for dear life. Like, that's what she was doing, but they were safe. And her father, I don't remember, I think he was also hoisted in a tree, but it was really impactful. He was like, my daughter is Nancy, she's my hero. And
wow.
It was very powerful just hearing them talk and the conviction that they had and stuff. I think they made good decisions, or they made, like, instinct decisions. They were successful, they all survived, and I think that they wanted to do more than just testify. Like, they would be a good
right
person or group for us to interview. Another person who, so my friend used to work at Kimley Horn before she started her master's, and she's in my program.
What's Kimley Horn?
It's a consulting company like Jacobs.
Oh, okay.
And so this man, Lance, I forget his last name, his wife's family has a vacation house somewhere in Kerr County. I don't remember where, but there was an article written about his family situation, and I uploaded it to the box.
Oh, good. Great. Okay.
But he is a project manager at Kimley Horn. He was Ella's old boss. And, I already sent Ella all of our information because he's a wastewater engineer, and he wants to be part of the change and wants to be part of, like, helping and stuff. And I think she told him that I was doing this, and he wanted to be a part of it. He lost his daughter or his son, one of them, He lost one of his kids.
I remember you mentioned this. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
And it was just a vacation weekend. And his entire wife's family was there or something, like the grandparents, everyone, and their vacation home gone. Like one of their kids, if not both, like gone. Super, super sad. He was on a semi-permanent leave or something.
After the event, or
yes, yeah, from work. Like he was like, I can't. Like his daughter, his kids were under 10. Yeah, there are photos of them in the article.
Oh God, he lost them both.
One of them. I don't remember which one. I didn't read the full thing. My supervisor sent it to me. Because like, we were supposed to work with him on a project, and I think I don't remember what ended up happening with that. And she was like, just to help your research.
Let's go back to the meeting again, just so that we can talk through like kind of, so there were three basic speakers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Hastings, and he kind of gave probably the same presentation he'd given at TMFA. And
there were a couple differences. The photos that I took in that one were different from the one I reviewed that Carrie uploaded.
Okay. And then there was... Whoa. What? Uh-oh. What is it? I don't see it.
Just like one little... The cobblestone is the only thing left. Here, wait. Pause real quick.
Uh-huh. I don't see anybody coming, so... Okay, are you in a good spot? I just can't see what you're getting. Okay.
That is the only thing left of that house.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Yeah, I couldn't see it. That tells you. It's like, what do you see that I don't see?
I'm probably over the top with all my photos.
So then, this is fascinating. All of the kind of, what do you call them? Decks. The docks. The docks that are here. The houses are on one side, and there are docks.
Or the houses are just farther back. Like, there's a bunch of houses back there that didn't get touched.
Right.
But you can see there's stumps at that house.
Mm-hmm.
This
is Ingram. This is the Ingram area, right?
We're near Bumblebee Hills, I think.
Oh, are we?
Okay. I don't think we've passed it yet, but Ingram was farther. Ingram's closer to Kerrville than...
Okay.
Hunt. But, yeah, so Charlie was doing more, like, general information. Oh, Texas Strong, Kerrville, Center Point, Hunt. It's crazy because, like, all of this is in the floodplain. Like, that entire...
All of that, yeah. Everything to the right of the road.
Uh-huh. Like, theoretically, no, there should be no homes built here.
That was one of my takeaways, was listening to everyone. Like, people basically are like, we can't even go back. We can't do anything other than take lawn chairs down and sit on our land now.
Uh-huh.
Oh, here's where you've got the various...
Got it.
Okay.
And also something else, like,
yeah, that one's, there's another one up here. This is where there are a few that actually have the orange spray paint for they search the house.
And that's interesting because we're farther back from the river, and in some areas of the river, houses this far back didn't get any damage.
Mm-hmm.
But here, like, that house was completely taken out.
Right.
But also that house was, it looked like it was Sierra Vista. What's that? It looks like a Hollywood sign.
Rio Sierra. It does.
I missed.
Here, oh, it's kind of behind the trees. Oop. Oh, there's a car behind
me.
Damn.
Okay. It's fine. It's
now there are two
sign.
Trucks behind me.
It's fine.
Three trucks. They're coming fast. These are like guys that work out here. Five trucks now.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. There's a crew that just got off work.
But it's interesting how I have two thoughts. that I am going to forget if I don't say right now.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these houses, like, are farther back, and they got completely taken out, but, like, the one that we just passed, mm-hmm. Was also surrounded by, it looked like a ditch, and it was probably an ephemeral stream, but other houses that just, it's, like, flat, or they're on a hill, or whatever, and it's farther back, like, mm-hmm. they were fine. That's first thing. That's just interesting to see, like, where damage occurred, especially with respect to, what the city councilman was saying, with his house was fine, and it was a wider part of the creek.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, so there's a lot of, there's a difference between, like, in terms of bridges and stuff, and I'm not a transportation engineer by any stretch of the means, but, I feel like there's a difference between, like, a bridge where it's just, instead of paving the road over the dip, mm-hmm. it just, like, they did a bridge to keep it flat, mm-hmm. and then a low water crossing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of low water crossings that only have water when there's a flood event. So people, like, when the low water crossings aren't, don't have a sign or with a flood warning or whatever, what's them to think the difference between, like, it being, like, in terms of evacuating?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're able to get to a car and leave, at, like, and you're choosing, like, what road to take or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or even if you don't have a choice on the road and you're going through somewhere, like, the speed at which you're going, if it's not labeled or whatnot, like, what's to make you think that it's just a bridge versus a danger zone for water,
mm-hmm.
when the bridge is always, when it's always dry?
Mm-hmm.
So now we're in Ingram.
Yeah, okay.
I guess. And there's the dam. Another dam.
Oh, that motor home.
I wonder where the RV parks are.
I don't know, but that motorhome had its windows. That was one of the motorhomes. It must have been that they pulled out.
Hmm.
Man.
This is crazy. That's not a foundation, that's an art sculpture.
Oh. So then the second speaker I thought was really good.
The guy from Pave Dawson?
Yeah, I thought he did a nice job.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here thinking, like, what was it that he said that
he
I
was talking
was
about the history of flood insurance
in
the U.S. and...
He did a good job, yeah.
I think what all three of them did a good job, and I guess the third one was the guy from TFMA.
Yeah, executive director, Chris...
Stole something.
Yep.
But,
I wrote down his name in my notes.
Yeah. I think one thing that they all did really well was... Or at least at times did well, was try to curate it, or...
I should have put on my...
Do you want me to...
Let's see. Yeah. Oh, actually, good. Here's... Stop. Okay, here we go.
This is really cute.
I know, it is. Okay, so I'm going to reset our... Let's see. What am I doing here? I'm going to reset where we're going. Here we go. Can you put mm-hmm. your address... I think your address is in there.
Yep.
Okay,
right,
cool. I'm just wondering, we may need to, like, go back. Oops, there.
Nope.
Okay, cool, we're good.
I think that they all were good at trying to, like, cater it to the population that they're talking to. Like, people who don't specialize in flooding. Like,
and definitely geared towards property owners. That was the other thing. It was definitely geared towards the people, yeah.
When they were talking, I thought it was brilliant that he compared, you know, if you have a 30-year mortgage.
Yeah, that was interesting. I took,
To, like, how, so you could potentially get a 500-year flood 3 or 4 times within the 30-year mortgage period. Mm-hmm. That was really interesting. And then the second guy, I really, oh dear, I really liked how he was taught, how he laid out the history in the U.S.
Yeah.
Like from the dawn of time, as far back as he could. I didn't know any of that information, and I think that provides a lot of context. Like people, because people are probably like, why doesn't insurance cover, I mean, I know, right? I medically am like, why doesn't insurance cover XYZ things?
Right.
Like, it, that's really good context from the homeowner's perspective as well.
Right. Yeah, so he was great at contextualizing things. They all did a good job of that. Let's see. Yeah, so I've got the history of the floods. He explained the different zones and what the different zones mean. Mm-hmm. And I've got notes on that. I got the questions, which were largely around...
specific situations.
Yeah, exactly.
I was trying to follow, I think that maybe
the Lomas.
Yeah, yeah. That was kind of, but also
it's a declaration of the state of your, yeah.
Is it something that your supercomputer can do to like go through the bills and
yes.
give us the highlight reel?
Yeah.
That's better than Claude could?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
And I pulled up, I copied down all the bills mm-hmm. that he mentioned. Yeah, a lot of that was contextual information that I do kind of half wish that it would be nice just to have all of that like on an audio file, so it could be analogous to what we're hearing.
All the stuff that we...
Yeah, but we're going to get the... I feel like you just got the context by grabbing the recording of the legislative session. The mm-hmm. hearings, and then if we get the bills, that'll give us more context, and so I think we're going to be fine on all of that. I don't know, do you think there's any reason that we should ask those folks to talk again and actually record them talking about it, or at this point it's really
no
okay
unless we have like follow-up questions, then I think that we could, I think all three of those people could be good interview candidates, especially the county engineer.
I did notice that he made so there were a couple of comments made in the first presentation, like the governor was good and the governor made sure that they're paying for all of the things that we need to have done. And
you said that?
Yeah.
Huh.
And that FEMA was here for a month. And he was like, so, like, he was being clear, like, FEMA was here and FEMA helped us.
Checkbox.
Yeah. And he was also clear, Governor, it was really expensive and we didn't know who was going to pay for it, but Governor Abbott stepped in and he took care of that for us. He said, like, 3 times, Governor Abbott took care of this for us.
Huh.
Did you not, you didn't no. catch that?
No. I did not catch that.
I remember being like, surprised. I was like, oh, it's interesting. He thinks he needs to acknowledge the governor for this.
I mean, I think that in the grand scheme of things, like, he's probably one of the people that could potentially be sued. And because he's a Kerr County official, technically. He's the Kerr County engineer. And the people he's talking to in that room were potential people who could sue him.
Yeah.
And so, like, especially after... I really think it's a good idea for everyone on the team to at least watch the panel A, where it's all the officials and their testimonies.
I will watch everything.
Their testimonies, if my property got swept away and I listened to that and I had a little bit of, and I had nothing to lose, I would sue them. Because their whole testimony was like, I think we did a great job. We've never seen anything like this before in our lives. Like, we did the best we could do, blah, blah, blah. Like, they were like, I'm proud. The emergency manager quote, I am proud of how we handled this.
He was the only one that today, he was the only one that I got a semi-flavor of dismissiveness about, like, this is not a problem for you. This is the way it is, and this is not a problem for you. You have to deal with this. And the governor stepped up for us. He's taking care of us.
Except he's not.
Yeah.
Because the first thing, also this is something that, I mean, it ties in. It's going back to the hearings, but it ties in. the first thing Kerr County Commissioner Court decided to do after everything happened, like that Monday, was raise taxes by 8%. Very first thing. And someone testified and said that and said, this is ridiculous. And then one of the bills...
Are you serious? That's God.
That's what this lady, who I also think may be a good candidate, she's a real estate person in this area, and she seemed like she was in a fighting mood, in a good way, not like a...
Yeah.
Yeah, there were some people that were like, whoa. I was like, whoa, this is a lot. In a way that's like, you're being over the top, but not her. She was talking... numbers. She said, how do they have the authority to do this? How dare they? Like, the first thing they do is raise taxes on us who all just lost our homes.
Right.
Meanwhile, the counties I was talking about earlier, like San Angelo and all of them, when asked if they would raise taxes to pay for certain requirements, right, they all said, the last thing that I want to do is raise taxes in people's time of need. That was a quote from one of them. Every single one of them said, no way. If only if we absolutely were forced to and there was no other option. And I just think it's so interesting.
Yeah, you juxtapose those two things, mm-hmm, and it's so totally different.
But, so going back to him today, like, I mean, I don't know if he's an elected official or if he's appointed or what the situation with him is, but I kind of got that vibe too. Like, he was clear to check a box. He sees all these other people being sued. He doesn't want that, but he also is the engineer. He's the one who's expected to do all these presentations.
Well, he also said, he did check the box too. He said, we're supposed to be doing outreach and communicating, and that's what this is today. You didn't hear that?
I didn't hear it in that way.
I heard it and I was like, oh, well, you made that clear that you're here because you have to be here and this is part of what you're going to check your box. It was another check. Now that we're talking about it, I'm like, yeah, he did a lot of checking the box.
I'm really interested to see what Carrie thinks of how he did that presentation, because the presentation that he did to Carrie was like in front of a bunch of technical people. Like,
right,
it was at the Texas floodplain management like monthly meeting or something like that. And like my coworker who does floodplain modeling was there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, now that you say that,
he's the only one I noted tone. Tone if there's like a tone, and I noted
definitely
three times.
Tone.
Yeah, there were three times in his that I'm like, oh, there's a tone, and here it is.
It definitely was giving a little bit pro-government when...
Yeah, for sure.
I definitely like thought about that too, but so on second thought, maybe he wouldn't want to do an interview with us.
I think he would, though. Well, maybe not. I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean, he's out there doing these public presentations, so now he may not reveal more than what he just did in these public settings, uh-huh, but at least you could get an audio from him that you can then compare it with the mm-hmm tone of other people's, because he'll carry that tone into the conversation, I think.
It also may be different publicly versus, like, in a one-on-one setting.
Yeah.
But also knowing he's being recorded may be another thing, or maybe he won't let us record, because part of the thing is, like, we're going to give people the option. That's interesting. Then the Pape Dawson guy, he was giving consultant to me. Like, it was very, it was exactly like,
he was giving consultant.
That's what everyone at work sounds like.
He definitely was.
He's very well spoken. Like,
yeah,
very good.
He definitely was. Yeah.
The last guy I feel like was most like, not relatable, that's the wrong word, but
he was most authentic in his presentation, in terms of, like, he was actually there in the room with everybody. He wasn't playing a role as much,
mm-hmm,
maybe. I don't know, that's hard to say, but
I mean that's kind of what I'm thinking.
I think he expressed, like, at the end he expressed the sentiment that it was the right sentiment of, like, we want to help you out however we can.
Also, the first guy did not say he would answer questions.
No. No, I think, like, the more I look at it and think about it, he was definitely, it's a checking the box. He will report that he presented publicly to these mm-hmm. residents, and he gave them all the information they needed to be able to make their decisions for the next move. The TMFA executive director at the end, he was answering the Lomas and the
patients.
Lomar, yeah. So he was actually telling them what they have to do, trying to answer that one specific question that went on for a while.
That must be really tough being in a role like his, because, and I'm not saying I can claim I understand what his, like, political views or anything of that nature is, but to me, it felt very evident that, like, when he was saying, we don't know about the state of FEMA, we don't know what FEMA is going to be like, we don't know what the president's going to do with FEMA, not saying that he's,
that's
like...
That's accurate.
yeah. But he seemed a little more transparent and not just like, we love the government, like, yay, yeah, FEMA. He was more like, you need to prepare for the worst and prepare not to rely on everything I just told you.
Yeah, he was very clear about that. He did make those caveats, and I think that was good. Maybe that's why he came off as more authentic in some ways, because he was explaining that there were uncertainties and acknowledging those uncertainties, whereas the other two presentations were much more kind of presented as, these are the facts. And in one case, these are the facts, you can't do anything about it. And, oh, by the way, people have taken care of you and they've helped you by paying for the, you know, the governor's
That's
taking care
crazy.
Of you.
That was wild. When he was like, oh, look, she was here, here's a photo of her. I was like, is this like a...
That was an evidence.
Like a propaganda?
That one was really, like, and she was really nice. Here's the FEMA woman that was with us for a whole month, and she helped a lot of you. And she was really nice.
Yeah. Huh.
And he made sure to mention her by name. And it was kind of a statement of, don't take for granted that FEMA was here.
Mm-hmm.
This one person.
There's Kerrville. Bye, Kerrville.
Bye, Kerrville. Did you want to stop for food or anything? Are you doing okay?
I'm good right now.
Okay. I am too, so, okay, we'll cruise.
I'm eating the rest of my scone now. There's so much to process with this, and I feel like every time I learn something, it gets more complicated.
Yeah. That's part of why I like the algorithms. They help me simplify it back down. Because I get really in-depth in the details. Okay, I feel like we got enough of the debrief.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right, cool.